Psalm 139, 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Psalm 139, 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Psalm 139, verse 2. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 61:4. Hebrews 4:10. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works, as God did from his. Hebrews 4:10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Hebrews 4:10. Would you open your Bibles today to Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. You're listening today to the services of Grace Bible Church in Baytown, Texas. We started communicating God's Word from this church in 1975, and it has been our desire through the years to communicate God's Word to those who are perceptive, who desire to advance in God's magnificent and wonderful Word. Grace Bible Church is designed for people who love the Lord, love His Word, and who have a desire to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We're now being called upon to seriously consider the safety of all of you, and that is why our concerned leaders have made decisions about which you have received information. Please pray that this new challenge will be spiritually beneficial for all of us. We'll be back together under the same roof when it becomes absolutely safe. And in the meantime, our preaching staff will be faithfully studying and presenting God's truth to all of you by this method. The Word of God is definitely our responsibility to get to you and your responsibility to receive. So I want to encourage you to be aware of the fact that that is exactly what we're doing. We desire to communicate God's Word, and our staff will do that faithfully and consistently in these unusual days. Before we begin our study today, we spend a moment in prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours again today to turn our attention away from the various distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We are aware of the fact that you've given to us so many wonderful blessings. We thank you so very much for your matchless grace. Grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that will ultimately take us to our eternal home. We know that the Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Father, we're thankful for your matchless love and grace to all of us. We pray today for our entire church family, and we pray for everyone who will be hearing this voice today. We pray that all of us will be aware of the fact that our desire is for God's Word to be presented, for us to hear and to utilize and make application of these magnificent truths. Father, we're thankful that you've given us the completed canon of Scripture. You've given us the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit. You've given us this opportunity now to focus our minds and our hearts upon your wonderful Word. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Today we're going to be dealing with the subject of the millennium. We'll also be looking at subjects related to the millennium in relationship to the life during the millennium, facts related to the millennium. We will be looking at the millennium from the standpoint of the eternal plan of God related to these magnificent truths in God's Word. We read now Daniel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, 11 and 12. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Then Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Then verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What we're doing today is taking a look at what is known as the 70th week of Daniel. We find this presented to us in various passages of Scripture in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, verses 24 to 27, and then in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, which I've just read to you, Daniel chapter 12, those last verses. What we understand is that when we take a look at the 70th week of Daniel, we find that there's an emphasis here upon the uniqueness of what will be taking place at the time known as the millennium, at the very beginning of the millennium. We realize that the 70th week of Daniel, described in Daniel chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 6, presents to us the fact that the time is 3.5 years, which is 1,260 days, the first 3.5 years, the first part of the tribulation. The last part of the tribulation is 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. When you put those two together, 3.5 and 3.5, you have the tribulation period of 7 years. What we've just read that is so interesting is that in the last part of the book of Daniel, there's an emphasis upon an additional 30 days, and then there's an emphasis upon another additional 45 days, which emphasizes a total of 75 days. So we are going to ask you to just listen carefully now to the fact that Revelation chapter 6 gives us a summary of the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation or the last 7 years of the Jewish age. If you'll listen carefully, I want to share with you that God gave the Jews 490 years to glorify him, and we all are aware of the fact that they failed. And their failure was the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, 586 to 516 B.C. A part of their failure was that they did not observe their sabbatical years, and they accumulated 70 sabbaticals in those 490 years. They took them all at one time, Then God gave them another 490 years. But it was cut short, as Scripture reveals, at 483 years. You can do a little subtraction there and discover that that's 7 years short, which means the 7 years of the tribulation. The cross then, as we can see here, interrupted. The time was cut short into which the church age was inserted. I'm aware of the fact that I've gone quite rapidly there, and so let me give you just a quick summary. Number one, the Jews had 490 years. That's the first point you should put down. Number two, they missed their sabbatical every 7 years. These are important points for us to remember because this will help us understand the presentation of God's Word in relationship to the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and also some things in the ninth chapter and in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. Let me repeat a summary. One, the Jews had 490 years. Number two, they missed their sabbatical every 7 years. Divide 7 into 490, and what do you have? You have 70. God gave them these 70 in 70 years of Babylonian captivity. I'm aware of the fact that sometimes I go too rapidly, and I don't want to do that today. I'm trying to help you see. So if you're taking notes, just put down a summary of Daniel's 70th week. Number one, again, the Jews were given 490 years. Number two, they missed their sabbatical every 7 years. Number three, divide 7 into 490 and you get 70. So that means, number four, that God gave them these 70 in 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Number five, then God said to Daniel, I will give you another 490 years to complete your responsibility. It's important for us at this point to see number five again. God said to Daniel, I will give you another 490 years to complete your responsibility. Number six, however, 483 years from the time of the Babylonian captivity until the cross occurred. I want to repeat that so that you can put that into your thinking. Number six again, however, 483 years from the time of the Babylonian captivity, the cross occurred. I put in parentheses here, 7 weeks equals 49 years. Then 62 weeks, which is presented to us in Daniel 9:25, equals 434 plus the 49 years equals the 483, and that equals 7 years short. Don't want to confuse you. I'm trying to go slowly enough for you to be able to see how fantastic the Word of God is. Number seven, this means then that the Jewish period was cut short by 7 years. This is the exact amount of time designated for the tribulation described in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 and 7. I trust that you're hearing this and perhaps taking a few notes. We're going to review again in just a few moments, but I'm trying to let you see how magnificent and wonderful all of this is. Roman numeral 7, again, this means the Jewish period was cut short by 7 years. This is the exact amount of time designated for the tribulation that is described for us in Revelation chapter 6 and 7. All right, some of you may be a little confused at this point, and I can certainly understand that. So let me give you again a little bit more information to summarize it for you. Let's put it down like this. Tribulation, 7 years. Tribulation, 7 years. We've looked at the diagram and we've been able to see that the tribulation is divided with two periods, 3.5 years each. We're aware of the fact that 3.5 years is 1,260 days. So we put for the first half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Then we look over to the second half of the tribulation, where we find that there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon, and it's revealed in the Scripture as the Great Tribulation. So we have 7 years of tribulation here, 3.5 years, 3.5 years, with that last 3.5 years being referred to as the Great Tribulation. And most of us are aware of the fact that that's where we find the emphasis on the Battle of Armageddon. But let's look at it again. Tribulation, 7 years. 3.5 years, 1,260 days. The last 3.5 years, 1,260 days. But we discover that now in the book of Daniel, it is saying not 1,260 days, but 1,290 days. So we have on the left-hand side of our diagram there, in the 3.5 years, we have 42 months, 1,260 days. However, we discover that in the book of Daniel, in these verses that we read at the beginning today, 1,260 days, then there's plus 30, which equals 1,290 days. Interesting enough, we discover as we read on in the last verses of the book of Daniel, it says 1,335 days. So that means another 45 days. So if you look carefully then, you're seeing that there's 1,260 days plus 30 days, 1,290, plus 45 days, which equals to 1,335 days. Now, theologians have told us, and I think it's very interesting to see, that the reason why this information is given to us is that there has to be something taking place during the first 75 days of the tribulation. We have an emphasis on the fact that when you take a look at this diagram, it's saying that there are some things that are going to be taking place during that time. First of all, there is an emphasis upon what is known as the cleansing of the temple. In that first 30 days, it's added. And then there's judgment of the nations, emphasized in those next 45 days. So we have an emphasis then upon 75-day preparation for the beginning of the millennium. This is presented to us beautifully then in Daniel 12, 11, and 12. Let's see if we can analyze what has just been said. Daniel 12, 11, and 12 indicates then that there will be a 75-day interval between the second coming of Christ to earth and the start of the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. I'm letting you think about that for a few moments, and I'm presenting this to you so that you can see it. 75-day preparation for the millennium. Presented to us uniquely in the last verses there of the book of Daniel, chapter 12. In Daniel 12, 11 and 12, it indicates that there will be a 75-day interval between the second coming of Christ to earth and the start of the one-year millennial kingdom. The question is asked, how do we arrive at this conclusion, and what is the purpose of the 75-day period? Well, when we go to Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24 and reading down through verse 27, it presents what we begin with here today, and that is the 70th week of Daniel. It presents the 70th week. The 70th week is divided into two halves, 1260 days, each as found in Daniel 9:27 and Daniel 12:6. Daniel asked the angel, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? And the angel replied, this is interesting indeed, a time, times, and a half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. You find that in Daniel 12, 7b. Earlier in Daniel 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, the angel set the context of his words as being the second coming of the Messiah. Thus we know that all these events will be completed, as revealed in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, in conjunction with the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is telling us then that Christ's second coming will occur at the end of the second set of 1260 days. Next, in Daniel 12:11, it speaks of something being accomplished at the end of the 1290 days. We've already given you this, but let's look at it again. That's 30 days extra beyond the second coming. Since Daniel 12:11 is concerned with the temple sacrifice and the abomination of desolation, it is safe to conclude then that the first 30-day period will be the time in which the millennial temple will be set up and prepared for use. So we find in Daniel 12:12, where we read then that those who reach the point of 1,335 days, that would mean, or this means, we need to include now an additional 45 days, which we've already presented to you beyond the 30-day period, giving us a total of 75 days. Here's where we see the angel said that those who make it through that time will be blessed. That's very interesting because we find a reference in Matthew 25:34. Entirely then, and evidently then, the 75-day interval is a time of preparation for the kingdom. So much will have been destroyed during the judgments of the tribulation. It is not at all surprising that our Lord will take some time to renovate His creation in preparation for the millennial kingdom. I'm not sure what all this has done for you, but I want to remind you that toward the end of the tribulation, there is what is known as the Battle of Armageddon. A time of great distress, a time of tremendous warfare, a time when the difficulty and the death and the bloodshed will be so tremendous. So there has to be, evidently, the necessity of a time of renovation and cleansing at the beginning of the millennium. The scripture reveals that Daniel is an unusual person. We're going to deal with Daniel just to let you see how magnificent and wonderful God's plan is for mankind. What I'd like to do is to spend a few moments analyzing with you the subject of this great man, Daniel. What about Daniel? The scripture reveals that Daniel was a model of righteousness. The Bible is so beautiful, magnificent, wonderful. I'm going to try to share with you some unique verses. What I'd like to do is to just have you write these verses down. First of all, write, if you will, please, Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, verse 8, verse 9, verse 17. I'm going to open my Bible to these verses and read them for you. I would ask you, if you will, please, to write them. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, verse 8, verse 9, verse 17. I'm turning there and giving you time to find it in your Bible. First of all, I'm looking at Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Well, let me look at verse 1 first. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the host of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. He brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now Daniel 1, verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now that's verse 4. Now glance down to verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now glance down at verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. If you'll analyze this with me, Daniel is described in the scripture as a model of righteousness. So let's give some points. Well, number one, the life of the prophet Daniel is recorded in the book that shares his name, this book of Daniel. And Daniel means, God is my judge. Number two, there is not much about the early years of the life of Daniel, but he appears to have been of the upper class, perhaps even from a royal family. It is recorded that he was taken to Babylon as a teenager in 605 BC. He began service to the royal court and abstained from unclean food, as Daniel 1, 8 through 16 reveals. So number three, again, he began service to the royal court, abstained from unclean food. These verses that I've read, these verses, we see Daniel standing true to God and true to the Word of God. We see Daniel keeping a clean heart and also a clean body. And the man, therefore, whom God chose as a channel for his message to the Gentile nations of the world. Number five, about 608 BC, 3 years later, Daniel was brought before the king to interpret the king's dream. The king was pleased and made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. This is revealed to us in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. I have to skip some, but I have to tell you that number six, when you move over to chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, we learn that Daniel interpreted another of Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, and Daniel was called the prophet of dreams, and his task was to share in the actual government of Babylon. We're learning some things about Daniel today. Number seven, when you go to Nelson's Bible Dictionary commentary, Daniel is presented as one who remained in governmental service through the reigns of the kings of Babylon and into the reign of Cyrus of Persia after the Persians became the dominant world power. This is presented to us in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 21, and then also over into chapter 10, verse 1. Number 8. Daniel was also a person of deep piety. When you study the book of Daniel, you will discover that his book is characterized not only by prophecies of the distant future, but also by a sense of wonder at the presence of God. It's amazing to me, this magnificent book of Daniel. Number nine, from his youth, Daniel was determined to live by God's law in a distant land. This is all presented to us again in the first chapter of Daniel. In moments of crisis, Daniel turned first to God in prayer before turning to the affairs of the state. This is an ideal thought for us today in the light of our situation. Daniel was determined to live by God's law, even in a distant land. And in moments of crises, Daniel turned first to God in prayer before turning to the affairs of the state. That's presented to us beautifully in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, when you go from verses 14 all the way to verse 23. I would encourage you, if you will, please, to read carefully Daniel 2, 14 to 23. Number 10, his enemies even used his regularity at prayer to trap him and turn the king against him. But there's something you and I must see here, and that is the grace of God protected Daniel. Beautifully presented to us in the 6th chapter of this magnificent book. Number 11, so the book of Daniel is more than a treasure of prophetic literature. It also paints a beautiful picture of a man of God who lived out his commitment in very troubled times. We could say that we're living in some difficult times. But this is so magnificent for us to see that Daniel was so faithfully true to God. It paints a beautiful picture of a man of God who lived out his commitment in times of difficulty. We should never get so caught up in the meanings in the scriptures of the horns and the beasts that we forget the human dimension of the book. The intriguing person whose name means, "My God is judge." We're talking about Daniel. Number 12, Daniel and Ezekiel had different responsibilities. God revealed secrets to Daniel, as revealed to us in chapter 2, verse 19. While Ezekiel's work was to proclaim God's truth and explain the real meaning of the miseries that had come to them. Let's look at that for a moment. The ministries of Daniel and Ezekiel are different. Each one of them had a responsibility to God, but the responsibilities were different. God revealed secrets to Daniel. That's revealed to us in the 2nd chapter, verse 19. While in Ezekiel's life, his work was to proclaim truth and explain the real meaning of the miseries that had come to them. Both of these men looked far into the future. Daniel is quoted most in the book of Revelation. Number 13, Daniel belonged to a family of high rank. Having been taken captive to Babylon at the age of 16 during the first invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. We're getting a little taste of Daniel today. Daniel belonged to a family of high rank. Having been taken captive to Babylon at the age of 16 during the first invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. Number 14, Ezekiel was taken captive 8 years later, during the second invasion. As we come to the close today, let's look at some summary things. Daniel lived to be over 90 years of age, during which time he saw the fall of the Babylonian kingdom and the establishment of the Medo-Persian Empire. That's interesting, isn't it? Point 15, Daniel lived to be over 90 years of age, during which time he saw the fall of the Babylonian kingdom and the establishment of the Medo-Persian Empire. Number 16, he lived his whole life from the time of his captivity in the great and glamorous city of Babylon, approximately 69 years without blame, and well-favored. And Ezekiel describes him as a model of righteousness. Ezekiel 14, 14 to 20. Although he was a captive, he rose to be prime minister of Babylon and always remained faithful to his God. We'll come back in just a little while as we look at the next increment of our study today at this magnificent story related to the millennium. In the last moments of our service today, I want to encourage you, if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will understand that when God loved, He loved the world. And when Deity too left heaven's glory and became God in the flesh, He became God's way of presenting to us the magnificent plan of salvation, the incarnation, Jesus Christ, the God-man. Deity too left heaven's glory and came to the earth, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, lived His life on the earth, sinless, pure, spotless, was willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That's the reason why the Scripture says that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, He was the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me." I would encourage you today, if you've never done this, to accept Jesus Christ right now. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means that you, whoever you are, whatever your condition is, if you'll trust Him, He will save you. I'm so glad that I can tell you that. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a little lad, and I'm glad and thankful that He saved me because He said He would. He doesn't lie. He tells the truth. He'll do the same for you that He's done for me. The Scripture says, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Father, we're thankful for Your grace and matchless love. We pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.